The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Everyone's a genius in hindsight. You've heard the saying, 2020 hindsight. Everybody's a genius after it's obvious they succeeded. I'm curious. Was the Warriors dynasty a grand plan? Just better than everybody else? Or lucky? Happenstance? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get into the Warriors dynasty and which quarterbacks and which situations in NFL are marriages made in heaven. How many job openings after the draft will there really be for Cam Newton and Jameis Winston? How many 2 to 3 years down the road will even open up? That's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. Yesterday, I sat down with a consensus, almost certain, number one pick in the NFL draft. But more than that, Etur Gross Matos, an edge rusher from Penn State, is a fascinating human being who quite simply has been through incredible amounts of tragedy in his life and overcome it. Here is some of my conversation with Etur Gross Matos of Penn State and soon to be of the NFL. 9 sacks in 2019, 8 sacks in 2018, consensus third rated edge rusher in this NFL draft, second by some estimations. Who exactly is showing the most interest in Etur Gross Matos right now in the NFL?
I think there's a handful of teams, kind of showing me a lot of interest and a lot of attention at this point. So I really couldn't give you, a name of 1, 2, or 3. It has been, kind of few, and I'm still receiving a lot of phone calls and talking to a lot of teams, a lot of GMs. So at this point, I have kind of no clue where I'm going to end up.
I'm sure you don't have a clue, and I'm sure you don't want to leave anybody else out. But I've read several teams. I've read the Cowboys, the Seahawks, a lot of teams somewhere between 17 and 25 could be looking for somebody to give some pressure off the edge. That's exactly who you are, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the best moment in football right now throughout your career? When is the moment when you looked up, you were the happiest, you were the most accomplished? What felt the best?
I'd say, thinking back to my college career and, my whole football career, the moment that sticks out to me, playing my last college football game, and that moment with the confetti coming down in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, and celebrating with my teammates and my coaches for the last time as an Nittany Lion, and knowing I was going to part ways with those guys after that game, the emotion was on a different level. So that's one of the moments that always stick out to me.
I don't know how many people know this stuff. You've certainly talked about it. It's out there. Your life story is an inspiration, but, like most inspirations, it's born out of hardship, in your case, tragedy. Let's talk, if you wouldn't mind, about some of those moments in your life. First, I know you don't have much memory of this, but you were 2 years old. You're on the back of a boat with your dad. You both fall in, and you make it, and he does not. What can you tell us about that moment?
Yeah, obviously, I went on a boating trip, and I was unfortunate enough to fall off the boat. And, thankfully, my dad was able to find me at some point. The water wasn't very clear at all. So, he jumped in the water, was able to find me, and handed me off to my grandfather. And he drowned that day. He wasn't able to get back to the ship in one piece. So, obviously, I carry that with me. It means, absolutely everything, and give his life for me. But like you said, I don't have much recollection of that day.
Well, I can hear the emotion in your voice, and I apologize for bringing up something that's probably definitely hard for you to deal with. Is this something that comes up a lot, this? And, of course, there is the incident with your brother as well, who died when he was 12 years old, struck by lightning on a Little League field. Is this something that comes up when you're talking to teams in your interview process? Is this something you've had to talk about a lot?
Yeah, I'd say probably I've talked about it more since I left college. Talking to teams and doing interviews, probably in the past 4 months and a half in my entire life. But I've gotten comfortable I I've been comfortable, and at peace with what happened to me a long time ago. So it's not really an issue for me to talk about it. Obviously, keep talking about it and kind of got to break some stuff out of me. But
I understand. I'm sure a lot of people listening do as well. Everyone, while they don't have the circumstance that you've lived through, they have something they can identify with. The situation with your brother, he was 12. You guys were all at a little league game. It's just unfathomable, man. And I don't know what to say. I just how does that one stay with you? How does that one drive or affect or inspire or hurt today?
Kind of like you said earlier, everybody's going through something, whether it makes the headline or not. And you had a fair way to deal with what you're going through and get through it. And for me, I think what happened to me, with my older brother, gave me a lot of perspective, about what's important. Time is the most important thing. So appreciating other people's time and taking advantage of your time and the opportunities you have. So I think it just gave me some perspective about life, ended up making, me and my family 10 times closer. So, I don't see it as something that really hindered me, rather than, appreciating, the time he was here, and carrying that forward.
And in fact, I've read, you mentioned your family, your first name, Etor. What does it mean?
Surrounded by loved ones. Yes, sir.
That's exactly what you gather when one reads about your life. Etor Gross Matos, Penn State, edge rusher, defensive end. Here on the Will Cain Show, when I read about you, Etor, and I spent a lot of time reading stories about your life, and of course, I've read your scouting reports and your draft status, that keeps coming up, as it would. Perseverance, ability to move forward. When you think about your strengths, Etor, and I guess it doesn't have to be just as a football player, but as a human being, and at some point they become one and the same. What is the biggest strengths you have?
I think one of my biggest strengths is, kind of my mentality. Wanting to take every opportunity to get better and being coachable. And I think kind of that same mentality I talked about earlier about, appreciating other people's time and taking advantage of yours. I kind of take that with me in everything I do. So even in the weight room, on the field, practicing, and I think that's kind of what's propelled me, against, some of the people I've gone against in my life, feeling like I was maybe a couple steps behind. I feel like that's really what's carried me forward, having that perseverance through anything mentality. So I've always been told, worked hard and never stop working. And it's got me here, and I'm sure it's going to keep taking me forward.
That's the first part of my interview with Etor Gross Matos, defensive end from Penn State, certain to be a first-round draft pick. And listening back to that interview, I got to tell you, I have no idea if it's the right thing to do or not to ask him about those moments in his life. I know that I have to ask what I'm curious about. I know what is integral to his story, and I know what's already well-known. I also know that he's prepared for it, but man, I hate making him relive some of that for us, for me. At the same time, that's what his story is, right? And his story is public, and it's part in something he's sharing. I'm torn. I'm telling you, I'm torn. I hate that he felt that way while we're talking. I hate that he's experienced that. It's just stunning. It's stunning. After losing his dad when he was 2, he turns around and loses his brother to a damn lightning strike when he's 12 on a little league field. Unfathomable. But what an amazing testament to this kid's perseverance and character, and I wish him all the best. I talk again with Etor Gross Matos a little bit later in the show. It's lighter. I'll ask him what the toughest stadium he's ever played in. I'll give you a hint. It's in the Big Ten. And who he models his game after. Specifically, if you draft Etor Gross Matos, what are you hoping to land in terms of historical comps? That's all coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. We're also setting up our big board for the homework this weekend. Who do we draft for the best comedy special? I got to be honest, Kevin in Brooklyn, I have heard this name over and over. Everybody respects this guy. I said the same thing about Bert Kreischer. I keep hearing, I got to listen to Bert Kreischer. I got to listen to him. This guy, and he's been gone for a while, but this guy's been somebody hovering out there for years, I've heard, and I never have heard one of his specials yet, Kevin. Who do I need to listen to?
Patrice O'Neal. His special is called Elephant in the Room. An amazing, amazing, amazing special.
Every comedian talks about Patrice O'Neal. You know what I mean? It's like all of the guys who know what comedy is and respect it talk about Patrice O'Neal. Okay, so Elephant in the Room. I'm writing it down. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Joe from New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
I'm thinking Gabriel Iglesias, Aloha Fluffy.
Aloha Fluffy. He's hot right now, right? In Gabriel Iglesias hot right now, I think so. My kids know who he is because I think he's got a show, right? Like on Disney or something like that?
Yeah, he had a Netflix series, which was actually very funny.
Yeah. All right. I got those on the big board. They join Kreischer, Jeselnik, Burr, Chappelle, Dane Cook, Daniel Tosh, Joe Rogan. We'll keep filling out the big board. We'll draft in the third hour for our homework best comedy special since 2000. That's all coming up on the Will Cain Show. Were the Warriors luck or design? Was the dynasty built or fallen into? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, let me brag on myself, and then let me totally tear myself down. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's a common lament. We all feel it. Nuno, Supreme Leader Nemo, Nuno of Portugal, Pat, Mike A., Bubba, and myself. We do feel a little aggrieved from time to time. Oh, we do the content here, and then days, weeks, sometimes even months later, it appears somewhere else exactly as we talked about it. A couple of days ago, I had the author of The Victory Machine, The Making and Unmaking of the Golden State Warriors Dynasty, Ethan Strauss, on my show. Ethan Strauss, in talking to me, we stumbled upon a conversation about how the dynasty was made. I was really curious, and I hadn't yet read the book, but I was just kind of fascinated. Did they build it? Were they geniuses? Was it a grand scheme? Or were they lucky? Lo and behold, a day or two later, I'm reading on BleacherReport.com, and it's a whole story about how the Warriors got lucky, and they tried to trade away Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. And I was like, where did I hear that before? Now, granted, I'm not a buffoon here. I know that Ethan Strauss is making media rounds, and I know he's talking about this, and I know this little trade idea you're about to hear was probably said in more than one place, but the idea of the Warriors being lucky or being geniuses, I know it was pretty unique to the Will Cain Show. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just a narcissist. I don't know. Anyway, this is what it sounded like 2 days ago.
I don't know when they all took it over. They even had Steph Curry as part of their plans. I mean, they dangled him. They shopped him. They didn't think that he was going to be a star. And so there is this aspect with the Warriors where it's really hard to know where the luck ends and the vision begins or reverse those two. I don't know. Because if they had such a vision, if they knew how it would all work out, then they wouldn't have been trying to trade them. And in fact, as I say in the book, at one point they offered Steph and Clay for Chris Paul back in 2011. So imagine how that would have changed things. So there's a lot of luck that lined up for circumstances to work out as it did.
There is that line, and that, of course, then spawns the articles. Steph and Clay for Chris Paul. The Warriors trying to trade away Steph and Clay for years. In fact, as you're reading today, you can go back to, I think it's 2014 and then before as well. No, it's 2011. When is it? I don't know. Nuno, you can look it up. But there are reports. You can find Mark Spears of ESPN tweeting about it back in the day. These guys involved in Kevin Love trades. But then all of a sudden it starts clicking. Then all of a sudden it starts working. Then all of a sudden Steph and Clay become Steph and Clay. What's clear from that process is, I don't know that it's capable of being separated, but as much as Warriors owner Joe Lacob says they were always two steps ahead of everybody, they were miles ahead cerebrally than the rest of the league, they were ahead of themselves, too, because they weren't even aware of what they had just yet. And look, I'm not saying it's all luck. I'm not saying it's all stepping in something, you know. And it turns out there was more than poo in that thing you stepped in. There was some gold nuggets as well. I'm sure there was some genius, especially once you find it, some foresight to be like, oh, this is going to work. Let's build around this core. Because it was different. It's different than everything else that's going on in the NBA. I am just always fascinated. Are we looking at true, organized genius, foresight, innovation, long in the works and plans, or the way a lot of innovation happens, trial and error, mistake, accident, and luck? I think most innovators recognize the role that timing and luck in situation can play. We talked about that yesterday when it came to Tua Tagovailoa with Jim Nagy, ESPN's NFL draft analyst. That's the big knock on Tua. It's not even his injury. It's dear God. He has had three first-round picks along his offensive line, either in 2020 or 2021. He's got four, count them, four first-round picks at wide receiver that he's throwing to. Two this year in Judy and Ruggs. Two next year in Waddle and Smith. Four first-round wide receivers, plus Najee Harris, oh yeah, and plus the greatest college football coach of all time. Situation? Luck? Playing a little bit of role in success? Probably the case with Tua. Definitely the case with the Warriors. Not all genius, but not all luck either. Just shows if you can get both, you might end up with a dynasty. And we might have talked about it here on the Will Cain Show first. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I can get a little full of myself. So let me knock myself down last night. I really wanted to get some sleep. I wanted to get to bed early because I had to get up and write my parting shot for Outside the Lines. We're still doing those. Then you have to record it. And it has to all be done by a certain hour in the morning. So I'm like, I got to get to bed. I got to get a fair amount of sleep. Didn't pan out because yesterday I smelled propane outside the house. Here's the deal. New York City's turning me soft, okay? You know, I live in an apartment. I've forgotten how to do things men should do, you know, like handle your life. So I'm walking around yesterday afternoon, and I smell propane outside. I'm like, that's not right, but it's like a pool heater, I think. I'm at this house. I'm in Tennessee. You know that. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's just burning off some excess. I don't know. Truthfully, I didn't think about it too much. Then I went in the house, and we were all hanging out later, and I was like, I smell propane. You smell? No, we don't smell propane. It must be outside. Don't worry about it. And then the more we sat there, we watched a movie as a family last night, Wall-E, if you're curious. And, you know, then I start smelling it, and it becomes a mistake. Where, like, there's propane in the house. Okay, so I start Googling, and that's a terrible idea because, I mean, there's like seven rules if you smell propane in the house, one of which is all caps, get out of the house immediately. All right, now I got two kids and a wife in the house, and she's read the same thing, so now you've got double problems here, and nobody's going to sleep, and damn it if it's not 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, well, nobody's working. Who can I call? What do you do? I don't know. I live in an apartment. I'm not a man anymore, okay? I'm a weenie. I don't know what to do. So I'm like, okay, I got it, sweetie. I'm calling the gas company. I'm calling the gas company. Relax. You go to bed. So I called the gas company, and lo and behold, if you call the gas company and say you might have a leak, all bets off. They have to come. They're coming to the house. And I'm like, well, yeah, they're coming. Okay. All right. I guess I'll see you. A couple minutes go past, and the actual truck, the gas guy calls me, and he doesn't sound very happy. Probably because he's like, all right, I'm an hour and a half away. So I'm like, well, you don't have to come. Maybe we can do it first thing in the morning. If you call about a leak, we got to come out. I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, okay, I'll see you about midnight. I said, I lay in bed, and I wait for my phone to ring. Because I'm in the mountains, man. I'm out. You know, I'm this short of going back to nature, except I'm not prepared because I'm in a New York City apartment dweller. I don't even have a firearm. So I have an alarm for anybody trying to creep up on me. And a BB gun. And so the guy comes. He has a service truck. He's got to cross a river because you got to cross a river and there's a bridge and the bridge doesn't hold the weight of the service truck. And he finally gets here and he's super nice. And he and I hunt for the propane tank for, I swear to you, no less than 30, 45 minutes. Okay. Because it's buried and it's fancied and it turns out no one can find it. And I have to call my brother-in-law and then, you know, and then he doesn't wake up. And this guy's called three or four people back at headquarters and nobody knows where the damn propane tank is. Finally, with the flashlight on my iPhone, I locate it hundreds of yards from the house. We get up there, and he's like, yep, your tank is empty. And I'm like, ugh. I didn't know if I wanted it to be a leak so that it was a good service call, then now it could be justified, or if it was a simple fix. And I'm like, here I am. And when he pulls up, you know, Mike A was asking me earlier, Will, when he asks where you're from, what do you say? I guarantee you say Texas. I said, you're damn right, Mike. Every time. Where are you from? Well, sir, I'm from Texas. I'm not saying New York. You might as well say, hey, where are you from? I have coronavirus. I don't have corona, unless we all have it, and the stats are starting to think maybe we all had it. But Texas, he sees the plates on my car. I got this freaking, you know, estrogen mobile, a Toyota Highlander, so that's knocking me down a couple testosterone pegs as well. And I can't handle my own propane leak, which isn't a leak. My tank's empty. Smells like rotten eggs everywhere just because I don't have any more gas. Hot water's out. Can't turn the burner on. And the guy says, well, I've checked my box here. Your tank's empty. Let's hope we can get it filled up. I said, I appreciate it, buddy. Let's all go to bed. And I'll go to bed feeling much, much less like a man. So I may talk about sports weeks ahead of everybody, but I can't even handle my own damn household business. I wonder if Bob Costas can, because he's next on The Will Cain Show.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
The homework for the weekend. What's the best comedy stand-up special since the year 2000? It's The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We've been putting our big board together. You know we nominate homework. All five of us, Pat, Mike A., Nemo, Bubbles, and myself, pick our favorites from a certain genre, heist movies, war movies. This weekend, it's stand-up specials. We've been putting this big board together. We got Bill Burr, You People Are All the Same, I'm Sorry You Feel That Way. We got Dave Chappelle, Sticks and Stones, and Killing Me Softly. Burt Kreischer, Anthony Jeselnik, Daniel Tosh. We don't have a Louis C.K. Pat, why don't we have, you're a big fan, why don't we have one of Louis C.K.'s specials on here?
I don't know. Louis C.K. Live at the Beacon Theater, I think everyone unanimously agrees is his best special. So
I would think that's the one. Wouldn't somebody be the one? I think somebody might pick him, I would think. He's got to be a top fiver.
You would think.
All right. Let's see if anybody else has something that we're missing. Anthony in San Antonio. What's up? You're on The Will Cain Show. Anthony?
He's gone.
All righty then. How about who?
How about Bob Costas?
Oh, Bob Costas is here? Why didn't you tell me Bob Costas was here? Hey.
I just told
Bob
you
Costas.
Yelled.
Let me go to Bob Costas in, I believe, New York. Bob, you there? Bob.
Very disappointed we didn't get to hear from the San Antonio precinct.
Well, do you just want to join the conversation? Bob, are you a stand-up comedy fan?
Oh, absolutely. From childhood on, sure.
But here's the thing. You can't pick any of the Eddie Murphys or the Richard Pryors. I know that makes it hard, but we're trying to keep it modern. What's the best stand-up special you've seen? I'll give you two decades. I'll give you going back to 2000. We're trying to find the best one this weekend, Bob.
Wow. Well, if we're going back to the early 2000s, there's all kinds of Chris Rock stuff. Carlin was still working in the early 2000s. Seinfeld is such an easy pick. But there's nobody who is a master of his craft any more than Seinfeld on his own terms. And his terms are different than others. I find Norm Macdonald consistently funny, but that's an acquired taste. There are going to be some people who look at Norm Macdonald and say, what? But I'm up for anything Norm Macdonald has to say. I'll seek it out. I'm probably forgetting a lot of people. I know I am, but there's a partial list.
Norm Macdonald is an egregious oversight here on The Will Cain Show. He's a fan of the show. He listens, and we will get Norm Macdonald up on the big board. We got Bob Costas here on the show. I'm excited to have him.
May I jump in? May I jump in? Just one second. This just pops in my head. This is years ago with Letterman. Had to be 10 years ago. It's not stand-up. He's sitting next to Letterman at the desk. And somehow he references Hitler. And in that Norm Macdonald voice, this deadpan thing, he says, you know, the more I learn about this guy, the less I like him. So now, some people would look at you and go, what? But to me, coming from Norm MacDonald, that is just hysterically funny.
Yeah, it's layered. It's layered, and it's uncomfortable. And that's what he does. Yeah. He makes right. He does both. Right.
Well, you know, the stuff he used to do on Weekend Update, there have been a lot of very good hosts of Weekend Update. Che and Joe Smell are very good. But he was by far the edgiest. And there have been some edgy people who had that job. He was the edgiest to the point where higher-ups at NBC, not Lorne Michaels, but people above him on the pyramid, were getting very uncomfortable. He would do O.J. Simpson stuff constantly. He'd do takedowns of people in the most politically incorrect way. And some of it made you wince, but a lot of it was, like, dangerously funny.
And I think the higher-ups actually ended up kind of pushing Norm out, didn't they, in the end? That's why he lost that job.
Eventually, yeah. Don Olmeyer, who has since passed away and to whom I owe a debt because he ran NBC Sports when I was hired there in the late 1970s. And Olmeyer is a major figure in television history, sports TV, working under Lou Arledge, working on Monday Night Football, Wide World of Sports, Olympics, then running NBC Sports, colleague of Dick Ebersol. Then he goes to L.A. and runs all of NBC Entertainment during a period of time when NBC was the number one network, clearly in prime time. So there's very little you can say to criticize Olmeyer. But Don was a very close friend of O.J. Simpson's and one of those who steadfastly refused to believe that he could possibly have been guilty. I don't know if he eventually came around on that, but for quite a few years, he held out the belief that O.J. might have been somehow innocent. And all these O.J. jokes coming from Norm MacDonald really grated on Olmeyer, and I think that Don did eventually have a hand in pushing Norm out.
I went to college with Don's son. He was a college friend of mine, Todd Olmeyer.
Yeah, I know Todd.
Back in the day at Pepperdine, yeah. Bob Costas here on the Will Cain Show. He's going to hang out with us for two segments. We're going to talk about the Last Dance documentary, but it's been a little while since I've talked to you. Hey, Bob, did you ever do Saturday Night Live? Did they ever have you come over and do anything like that?
I was never the host, but I was in a couple of sketches.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was never the host. I hope that there was a period of time when I might have been on a long list, not the short list, but a long list of possibilities. That time has long since passed, but yeah, I was on in a few sketches.
Well, tell me this. As I said, it's been a long time since I've talked to you. I'm just curious. I think you're a fascinating guy. You are a smart guy. You and I, as we've talked about this, we probably see the world differently, but not so differently as some might suspect on a lot of things. I'm curious where you think we are on this. Were we going to have sports again in 2020, Bob?
If I had to guess, and it would at best be an educated guess, I am very skeptical about the possibility of any team sports in calendar year 2020. I think each of the commissioners is wise to have contingency plans. Best case, most optimistic, worst case, and everything in between, to have various contingency plans. So we've heard about them. Usually it's been about baseball, but I've heard some with the NFL. There's not going to be any college football or basketball. That's out. But with the pro sports, you hear possible ways that the NBA could have its playoffs all taking place in one place with everybody isolated. In the NHL, we heard about North Dakota. And they're right to have all these plans. But there are so many potential pitfalls attached to each of them that I'll believe it when I see it.
Why are you so certain there won't be college football?
I just don't see how you can possibly bring unsalaried employees without the proper protections that pro athletes would have, bring them all together, quite possibly representing colleges where the students aren't even on campus. So it isn't just that the stadiums or arenas would be empty of fans. You want to expose something that often is a sham, not always, but often is a sham, the whole idea of a student athlete. Let's have these student athletes represent their various colleges when their fellow students aren't even on the campuses, which will be the case very often. I can't see it.
I don't disagree with you, Bob. I think that image would be something they could never recover. But here's the sad thing to me. If we don't have college football at all, perhaps we have it in the spring, what we'll also mm-hmm. lose is the other student athletes, you know, the rest of the college athletic industrial complex. Although it's not a revenue-generating concept, the idea of men's tennis and women's gymnastics and every other form of the scholar athlete, which financially lives upon the backs of football and to a lesser extent basketball, will be the first to suffer and go away. And that really could be the end of that student athlete as we know it.
Yeah, or at least take a year away from those student athletes. I think it's practical to imagine golf, for example, and imagine tennis, certain non-team sports where there are fewer athletes to check in terms of their being clean once the testing is in place, and where social and competitive distancing is possible to imagine. I wouldn't want those athletes, if it's safe and practical for them to compete, I wouldn't want them to be deprived of that opportunity. I could see pro tennis resuming, pro golf resuming. And so as long as there are some students on campus in a given hypothetical situation, I don't see why those athletes and those sports couldn't compete. But your larger point is, of course, correct, Will. No matter what criticisms we may have of big time college football and basketball, one of the advantages, and it's not a small one, is that the revenue that they produce is what funds the lesser sports that most of us don't know much about or pay much attention to. It's what funds crew and what funds the swim team and the tennis team. So you're right about that.
And by extension, our Olympic farm system. Bob Costas here on the Will Cain Show. He's going to hang out for 2 seconds, Bob. I got to take a quick commercial break, and then I want to come back and talk to you, honestly, about anything you want to talk about, but also Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls dynasty, and the Last Dance documentary. That's all coming up with Bob Costas on the Will Cain Show. When it comes to insurance, State Farm's the real deal. With over 19,000 local agents and award-winning mobile app, you can get the help you need when you need it. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com. More with Bob Costas next on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and I've got a few more minutes to hang out with Bob Costas, Major League Baseball Network, and at one time, WGN Chicago reporter, and that's of note because this weekend, The Last Dance, a documentary on the Chicago Bulls dynasty and Michael Jordan, airs on ESPN. Bob, I don't know if you've seen the documentary, but you've certainly seen behind the scenes. What do you think we're going to learn that we didn't know about Jordan and the Bulls in that last year?
I don't know if it will be specific facts, although I'm assuming that in a 10-part documentary done so exhaustively with so much research and so much care put into it by a very, very fine producer-director named Jason Hare, who I used to work with back in the day at HBO, I'm sure there'll be a lot to learn, but I haven't seen it. I was interviewed for it at some length, and I've had conversations with Jason, and I've read a little bit about it, but I'm looking forward to it like everybody else is, beginning on Sunday night. But I think for sure what we'll learn is we'll get some insight into the personalities and motivations, not just of Jordan, but of Pippen and of Jackson. Maybe some people will be more guarded than others, but I think that it'll add some texture to our understanding of these people as personalities then and now.
Do you think, Bob, that will be a positive thing for Michael Jordan? Because he's been deified at this point, right? And I want my kids to watch this and go, I want them to see what a determined competitor at the highest levels looks like. But I'm not 100% sure at the end the human being they see is going to be that lovable. You know what I mean? What will we see beyond the guy we've deified?
Well, Michael himself has expressed some misgivings. They showed him, my understanding is they showed him some of the interviews that had been done. And he was able to react to some of that. So maybe he's getting some sense of what's been said about him, because after all, he's at the center of this whole thing. Yes, it's about the Chicago Bulls, but without Michael Jordan, nobody would really care. So he's expressed some concern that he's going to come across, and I'm quoting him here, as a horrible guy. But my guess is, not just because it's true, but because Jason Hare and company aren't out for sensationalism, they're out for insight. What will come across is that Michael Jordan was an exceptional athlete and therefore an exceptional person, because the person he was drove him to become the athlete that he was. The talent alone wasn't enough. His character, his will, his determination, all those things, his focus. So I think what will come across is that he was a textured and complex human being, and reasonable people can take that into account. He doesn't have to be deified. He deserves to be admired. He deserves to be respected. And my expectation is that after this, he'll be better understood. And not incidentally, this comes not long after he was among those who eulogized Kobe Bryant. And we saw a different side of Michael Jordan there. And mm-hmm. I thought that side was about as vulnerable and, as a result, as endearing as we've ever seen Michael Jordan. I don't think we have to put him on Mount Olympus. He's already on an athletic Mount Olympus. As a person, I think he can more than endure the understanding that we have about everybody. None of us are perfect.
I only have a minute or so left, Bob, but in fact, I just have a minute. I don't know if it's enough to ask. Why do you think we don't see Michael Jordan in the limelight as much as other stars? Why is he almost like a movie star, only to give us limited exposure?
I think it helps his mystique. It helps Sandy Koufax. Helps Joe DiMaggio. Jack Nicholson has said that he never did television interviews because he thinks of himself as a movie star, and that there's something different. You go to the movies, you see somebody on the big screen, that's different than having them come into your home, which makes them seem more accessible. I'm not saying that everybody should do things that way. Clearly, very few do. But it worked for Nicholson. So I think maybe Jordan's coming from the same place.
All right, it's Bob Costas here on the Will Cain Show. I always look forward to talking to you, Bob. I might be reaching out to you to talk to you a little more, but I really appreciate you jumping on the show today. Thank you, man.
And anytime, Will. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.